Well, good morning. It's March the 4th, 2014 in Los Angeles, California, here live in the Lucy Coleman studio. Pastor John, your internet pastor, talking with you about this miracle. I watched a real miracle take place right in front of me. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to come up before this and put it on there. You know, when you listen to Christians talk, they always talk about, do you believe in miracles? And I've always believed in them, but I believed in practical miracles. Now, I want to share something with you. For those of you that don't think that are young people, let me cut this music off here. I was just listening to a little classical music this morning. Let me share with you, for those of you that don't think that young people's value is worth anything these days. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to listen to their music, and the music drives us up the wall, drives me up the wall in any way, and granted, I grew up with the Drifters, the Coasters, the Miracles, and even the Disasters. But now they got different kind of singers, Big Rick, Little Rick, Smally, Big, Tiny, Little, and all these people, and they're making weird kind of music. But you would wonder, can any good thing come out of the mind of a young adult? Especially, and you know, where I live in the middle of the large city of Los Angeles. Now, bear with me, and I'm rushing this webcast this morning because right now it's about 6:58 in the morning, and I have papers in front of me that are yet to be graded. I got to calculate scores. I got to drop people from my roll sheet that haven't been attending the class. I haven't done that yet, and I need to do it as soon as possible. So I'm busy. I'm doing the work of a professor, but I'm your internet pastor. All right, let me give you the scenario. I had a 2009 Mac ProBook computer. All right, I depended upon that thing. All my work was on it, all my vids, all the videos that I put up on the internet, everything is on that thing. I mean, the thing was loaded with all of that. All of a sudden, this thing stops working on me. Just stops. It won't even turn on. And you know me, I went out and bought another one because I needed another one so that I can get my work done. I can't be hamstrung over the lack of an electronic object. So, you know, Morio gets in from this world travel that he does, right? And he gets in from the, oh, that's my alarm clock. See, I have to have alarms telling me what to do and how to do it. Look at this. Let me turn this thing off here. There it is. All right. He gets in from his world travels, right? And what he does is he says, let me take a look at the computer. Now, if you guys have been following me for any number of years, you know myself and Morio Canto with computers doesn't work very well because there was a time when he first came into my life that he crashed my hard drives, destroyed the work that I was working on. I mean, I had one hard drive that had at least, let me put some thought into that, at least 100 hours of radio broadcasts that were lost because he was taking a hard drive and trying to get cartoons from Japan or something on there when he was a kid, 19, 20 years old, when I first met him. So, anyhow, this guy comes in from being in Papua New Guinea, Australia, everywhere, Europe, and he says, let me take a look at it. I said, what the heck? Go ahead. I mean, I have a new computer. I'm trying to do all that. I even had a Mac expert computer repairman come by the house. I had one of them come by the house, and so that he might fix it. He looked at it and he said, you would do good by getting another computer altogether because blah, 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 blah. So I was let down because of that. Only to come to find out that when, and I watched Morio take every screw off of the computer, he peeled it off in pieces. Listen to me. This is what God can do when you, Christians, when you love someone enough. You can see the miracle take place right in front of you if you spend the time. And a lot of people told me that I was, number one, not only wasting my time with Morio Canto, wasting my time, that I was putting too much money, too many hours, too much love into his life. He, as a matter of fact, he told me he heard me sleeping last night, and he heard me laughing in the middle of my sleep when he got up this morning. I think he got up first and heard me laughing. And he said, "You were laughing hysterically." I said, "Well, I was probably laughing because I knew that the pain was going to hit me when I got up." But, I mean, that's a kind of relationship that we have now. It is so fluid. I talk with him. He talks with me like he's a human being, like I'm a human being. I don't talk to these young men like they're objects of my madness. Now, I understand the world that they live in. I practice empathy. I think that if we're going to be anything like Jesus was, we have to practice empathy. And we have to place ourselves in the other man's shoes. You know what I mean? We have to stop and think, well, it's supposed to be my way. Trust me, I can tell you some stories. I won't get into that now. My life is not a life that's just my way. If it were my way, oh, I'm telling you, my house would be pristine, clean, sparkling, not a speck of dust anywhere. It is not my way. No, I need a housekeeper coming in here to clean this place up. But anyhow, to my surprise, while he was working on the computer, let me get back to it, he says, "Hey, old man, come in here." And if you know anything about my home, I have a food counter there. And he was just working on the food counter on the kitchen side. And I went in, and lo and behold, there was a picture on the screen of my computer. It's still in pieces. Now, last I walked through there, I saw a part of the computer. I think it was the motherboard. This guy had taken the motherboard loose from the other parts of the computer, everything, and it was in the oven on a cookie sheet being heated up because he had to put this glue or something on these three or four panels because the glue had worn off. And so we went to Fry's Electronic. I bought the glue, and he bought this special tool that he can, man, he was taking all those things apart. And my computer, except for the sound, I don't need sound for that computer. If I want sound, I can listen to sound on another computer in my office. I don't need sound. I need the computer to work. Well, he got it working. I could have saved me over $1,000 buying this new computer if I had the patience to wait and the knowledge to do what he did. Now, how did he fix it? He went on the internet and he went on YouTube. This is how bright this man is, how bright the men are that I deal with in my life. He goes on the computer, and the computer that I let them use in the hallway doesn't have speakers and sound on it. So he goes to YouTube clips, and in some kind of way these folk are talking and telling you what to do, and I don't know how he's understanding what's going on because the computer doesn't have sound on it. Yeah, I'm not a very well-off man with money, and so I'm working in the Stone Ages here when it comes to electronics. Anyhow, the young lad repairs my computer, and he said he's going to put it back together hopefully when he gets in from work today. He just left walking to work because he gets up and goes to work, and I have to encourage him every morning because he got back here and he had a meltdown yesterday. He works at one of those jobs where he has to call people and do that, and people curse him out, and he couldn't take it because he knows that he's taught English in European countries and Papua New Guinea and New Zealand. He's taught, he's made money as a professional, and to work in a telemarketing place and get cursed out all day, he couldn't take it. He just jumped up and he was going to quit, and I told him, no, you got to make some money. Got to make some money. But I saw when I first laid my eyes on him, just like when I laid my eyes on my other, bye-bye, have a great day. There's the other one. Off to work, because they have to work in this house. If they spend the night here, they have to get up, go to work, make the money, save your money, make your life work. It is one of the things that keeps me alive. You know, a lot of people ask, well, how is Pastor John doing since he resigned? I'm fine. I'm fine. I am doing fine. I have this pain in my arm, but I'm doing fine. And I want to tell you, the boy performed a miracle right in front of me. I didn't think he can do it. I'm never going to doubt him or with any young man that spends a little time with me, because the same success rate that I had with my daughters in being a success, I am having with the boys from the hood. And I want to tell some of you Christian people out there that if you haven't taken time, and please don't tell me about the background of these youngsters and what kind of lifestyle they come out of and where they are and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to hear all that creepy stuff. If you have the love of God in your heart and a few dollars, because it's going to cost you. I had to put both of these boys on their feet. Man, check it out. They have no police, no tickets against their name, nothing. All that was taken care of by me personally years ago, because I knew that I had to clean up the record to get it straight so that they could be on the way. I had one young lad telling me that he wanted to come back with me. I said, no, you can't do that. No, you had your opportunity and you blew it, because some of them just don't listen. They won't listen. They think that they know what they're doing. I need some of you Christians out there to really, really, really step it up. You need to look at the people in your environment that needs your help, that requires your help. If you're a senior citizen, if you're an older person, wait a minute, let me open up my door, because they closed the steel door. And there we go. I want to continuously get some warm air in my office here. But if you really want to make a difference in the kingdom of God, I mean, you know, everybody's talking about making a difference in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is nearer to you than you think. Some of these kids are smart. If you're getting old like me, or are old like me, tell your friends to listen to this webcast. Learn how to associate yourself with young people. They are the most interesting group of citizens of our country. Now, the 30-somethings are on their way. I see them every morning. When I'm driving to work, I look in the face of a 30-something, and I see them behind the wheel of their car. Sometimes they have the baby in the back seat strapped in, and the mama's running her mouth trying to get the baby right before she drops him off at the daycare center. And if he's a young man, he has a cup of coffee in his hand and he has this serious look on his face when I'm staring out of the window of my Mini Cooper into his Infiniti, because, you know, they like that. You know, I had to get rid of my Lexus. I had to come back down to earth. You know, let me roll around the city with the regular people in the little cars and pray to Jesus that a truck won't hit me and crush me, and that little box of metal and gasoline. Life is good. Reach out. Listen to a young person. I was telling the philosophy students, I said, I gained my life through speaking with young people, because they invigorate me. One thing, as a matter of fact, my hair is growing back, because, you know, I cut it off bald, but it's grown back. It looks like the little picture that I have on my website, so I have to go to the barbershop and I have to get it tweaked. And I hope that my barber is there today, because I want to get it cut and edged up the way it ought to be, because I like to look sharp. I like to look like I'm living on the cutting edge, on the mark, so to say. That's the way I like to live. And if you're a senior citizen, and if you're gonna die, don't worry about that. Let me talk with you a little bit about that. You're going to die. Everybody that comes here dies. But you know what? I had a young person tell me, I think it was Mario Canto told me this. Mario Canto told me, are you ready to die, old man? Because if you're ready to die, then he put it this way. He said, damn it, die and rid us from that. He says, but there's a lot more that you can give us. When he said that, I knew he loved me. Because people that don't love you would tell you to drop dead and die. Now, not only as a parent did that make me feel good, and I'm not his biological father, but it made me feel good because he's concerned about my life. He asked me this morning, how was I feeling? I was in dire pain. I couldn't say anything. And he said, how you doing, old man? And I said, I'm doing as I wrestle with the pain. I said, it's every morning I'm in pain when I get up. But guess what? He is seriously concerned about the way I feel. And my communication also, I'm talking to you older people, because I had a wonderful conversation last night over the phone with the guy that was my chairman of the trustee board, Johnny Jones. I just out of the blue, I was lying in bed around, what was it, 8:30. I like my bedroom. I have a TV screen in there, and I love watching old movies. And so I was going to settle in to watch an old movie. And I said, let me call up Johnny Jones. And I called up Johnny Jones and I asked him how he was doing in the aging process. That started over an hour conversation about how he lives. He was down on himself because he has glaucoma and he had to have surgery on his eyes. He thought that he was going blind. After the surgery, he's getting his vision back. He's doing pretty good. And so we start talking about the disposition of us as older men. We don't talk about the way it was in the church and the arguments and disagreements that we have. Quite the contrary, the discussions that we have about the church is this. And we were having that discussion last night. How we could stay in an organization that was so full of hypocrisy. He pointed out some issues to me, some people in the church. He was pointing out that there's a lady in the church that is close to death, and he was speaking kind of harshly, and I said, well, I don't speak harshly of people because I understand that when they get old and if they don't know how to cope with it. And he was telling me that he admired me because I did correspond with young people. And I told him I've always liked to correspond with young people. I wanted the young people's classes in the church. I didn't want the old people's classes. I wasn't out trying to show people about what my degrees gave for me. I didn't do that. It wasn't that kind of a situation. So, we discussed our old age and our disposition and our attitudes towards it. Both of us unanimously said in total agreement that we believe in the God that we believed in back in the 60s that kept us that far. But we also said that we had to change from thinking the way we thought. And that's what gets old people down. Old people are thinking back in the 70s and 80s mode. This is the year 2014. And if you're up in age, a senior citizen, and still have your swag going, keep that swag going and keep it going powerfully. You may think you look funny. You may think you look foolish. You may think that you are outmoded. But you should see the way I'm dressed. I have on some Italian shoes with some lace, black and gray socks, black pants, white shirt, a black sleeveless sweater with a black tie, and I'm going to wear my British leather jacket, 3/4 inch, to school today, and I'm going to show part 2 of Apocalypto to the students in world religions to let them know what having your different religion will bring you. I want to admonish you to keep trust in our young people. They are a very smart brood of vipers. Love them the way that Jesus loved us. He didn't put any conditions on that love. Johnny asked me a question last night. He said, John, I want to ask you a question. I said, go ahead, Johnny, ask me the question. he said, would you die for a true friend? That took us to another 20 minutes because what we had to do is we had to discern what a true friend is. What a true friend is. Become a true friend to a young man. Look into his eyes and see his dreams. Mario said when he almost walked off the job yesterday, I looked in the mirror. That's what he said. I looked in the mirror. And he said, what am I doing here? I've taught English in foreign countries. I've gained respect from people in various countries around the world. I've slept in villages in Papua New Guinea. And I have to come back to America to get a job, to make some money, to get cussed out. And he stormed up. And his brother Terrence was going to walk off the job with him. And the boss came in and begged them, please don't quit. We need you here. Because, see, I disciplined him that much. And I was in the bed taking a nap when he got home from work yesterday. And he came and he sat down on the bed next to me. And I told him, no, you don't become impatient. I said, you have to make money. And I was telling him, there are many people, God knows, there are many people that get up every morning and go to work and don't like their jobs. I said, I happen to be one of the blessed ones. God has given me the job of communicating to people. I've always been a communicator. I love human beings, so I speak to them. I merely move my pulpit to the college. And I don't preach Jesus and God, but I do. Because every face of every student that I look into, some of them listen to my webcast. Some of them do, some of them don't. They may think I'm a nitwit, that's all right. But every face of the student that I look into, I love with powerful love. I'm asking those of you that call yourselves Christians to cut out this nonsense of being fooled by religion like Johnny and I were. You know, we discussed it. I said, John, because he was telling me about some things that were going on in the church that I didn't know about. Certain people carry guns to the church. I didn't know that. There were conversations about people wanting to shoot other people. Can you believe that? And I had my family, my wife, and my daughters involved with these kind of people. It wasn't disturbing to me, but I said, man, I didn't know that crap was going on. Certain officers going by other women's house in the church, having affairs with them. This is disgusting. This I never did that. Maybe that's why God is so gracious to me these days. You know, I try to figure out, why is God so good to me? Why are some of my contemporaries that did what I did dying or miserable or grappling with that? Why? Because I never did that. I would never do that. And then to use God. And I asked Johnny, I said, why didn't you tell me these things were going on? My wife and I, when we were young, because we were talking about when we were young men, I said, my wife and I could have gotten out of that. We could have retreated from that mess. I could have taken my family out of that mess. And my daughters see it, and they talk to me now and say, Daddy, I'm so glad you got out. They saw it. Why didn't I listen to them? Because I had this idea that if I had the Bible, and the Bible is a good book, it tells you how to live, it gives you some restraints in life. Some of those restraints are good. Some of them don't apply to me. I only use the things in the Bible that apply to my life, because everything in that Bible didn't apply to me. Most of it did. But my goodness, people in the church telling people, I don't want you hugging my wife and stuff like that. I don't even want to shake your hand if you don't want me to touch your wife. Man, what is this? We're supposed to be loving one another. So, you know, this hypocrisy, that's what it is. And it's hypocrisy of a worse kind. I can't mention it any further, but I think that I'm speaking with a person right now. I'm not going to call them by name, but I'm speaking with the person right now. You no longer talk to me. You no longer make yourself available to me because you were told not to. All right, I'm talking to this person because they may sneak and listen to the webcast. Because you were told not to listen to me. And you were told not to listen to me for a reason, and so that you could continuously be bulldozed into your religion. Like the person that you love is doing. Now, when you become a man and you develop thesis and you begin to think on your own without someone else taking you to, oh man, I can talk about this now because it's 70 years old. Johnny and I were talking about it. We can look back down the archives of history and life and learn from the mistakes that we made, from the lessons that we have. We can look back and see that, and we can correct our lives. Young people can't do that because they don't have too much to look back at. But I want to say this to this young man. You're being deceived by a person that you love. And that is why you no longer make yourself known to me or even stay in the same area that I'm in, if you know what I mean. That proves that you're being deceived and you're in a deception, faith and religion. And you need not worry. I will not visit that place again. That is of Satan. You see, and you can call it Christian, and you can do that, but whenever something is done of that nature, and there are evangelicals that can be the most deceptive, it's kind of like this. I heard two young men talking about the people of Haiti. And one young man said to the other young man, oh, well, those people practice voodoo. Those people are wicked. And the other young man said to the other young man, what? Wicked. He said, those people are not wicked. Voodoo is their religion. And the other young man says, yeah, but the pastor said that that's wickedness, that's of the devil, those are wicked people. And then the one young man said to the other one, and you mean to tell me there's nothing wicked about this evangelical Christianity that you came out of? And then he started mentioning all the things that the wicked Christians do. And then he said, what's the difference? The Haitians got their voodoo religion, and the Western black Americans has adopted the white man's view of Christianity, which is not a true ethnic Christianity from the first century. It is not at all. I used to tell them that when I preached in the church. They didn't practice what we practice here in this church in the Bible. Those people didn't do that. That was 2,000 years ago. They didn't even have electricity in the place. You kidding me? Let the praise team sing. Those people were running for their lives. But the one young man straightened out the other one, and he said, if you ever go anywhere with me and have disrespect for people because of their religion, you are going to make my life difficult because I am going accepting the people as they are and where they are. I found that to be a most interesting conversation because that's exactly what Jesus did. Exactly what Jesus did. And I was telling Johnny Jones last night over the phone, that was the kind of Christianity that I was living. I never was in it for money. I never was trying to take somebody's sweetheart. I was never trying to put one person over the other person as superior. I never thought that because I was the senior teacher that I was the most brilliant person in the room. Johnny told me an example of what our mentor, J.B. Stanley, said one night during a Bible study. I guess I was so mesmerized by this guy, I didn't pay attention to it, but he would brag all the time on his having a degree from Pepperdine University. And I don't know why he would do that, because that meant nothing to me about anything. The only reason that my wife and I and my children were in that church, we were there for the Word of God, not to look at his degrees. I have degrees on my wall right now. When people come in my study, they can see that I'm a learned man. But when I get in the living room and start talking with them, we eating out of the same popcorn basket, if you get my drift. So if you want to be successful in true biblical Christianity, and I will always be set apart from all these other pimp behind pastors. I will always be set apart from them. If you really want to get it right, love these young people. You mothers out there, now listen. These girls, listen, you can't dress them up like Pollyanna. If you got these young girls, I know they are to be modest, and you can show them how to dress modestly. I think some African-American women are some of the prettiest women that you ever want to see. And thank God, I think that the younger black women are far more intelligent and brighter than the older 30 and 40-something black women that have, I think they went through the crack era or something. I don't know what happened, but the younger generation of black women are more inclined towards more intelligence than the older women that have been messed up through unscrupulous men. And needless to say, some of these unscrupulous men pastors these churches. I haven't been to church in so long, I've forgotten how it is. Maybe I need to go by there one day, but no, I probably get sick to my stomach. Because I believe that if you're going to do God, you need to do him in the solo lane. Well, that's where I've been, and right now it's about 7:30, and I got to get out of here in about an hour, and I have yet papers to grade. I'm not going to finish this stack and things to do. I'm sorry for being so long getting back with you, but you know how it is. It's just, oh my gosh. You know the drill. Stay into the Word. You know I want to quote a scripture to you. I really do. I think it's important. Let me grab my Bible here. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry to moan like this. The pain is excruciating, but thank God I can feel it. I'm reading from John chapter 1, verse 29. It used to be a favorite verse of mine. Listen to what it says. And the next day, he saw Jesus coming to him. That is, John the Baptist, Jesus' first cousin. He saw Jesus coming to him and said, this is what John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said, "This man walking towards me, while I'm baptizing here in the River Jordan, can take away the world's sin." How? How, you might ask? Well, the Evangelical Christian Church would say, by becoming the atonement, the sacrifice for men. Yeah, you're right about that. Is that it? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But how, John? How? You might say by being strung up on a cross on Calvary and not mumbling a word against his offenders. Yeah, right. But how? That's not sufficient. How did this man take away the sin of the world? In the very same way that you can take away the sin of the world. Yes, his death on Calvary was a sacrifice. It was a symbol and a picture, and it was real. But how? I'll answer the how. He took away my sin through love. And that's the way he'll take away yours if you allow him. And then you can know that your sin is truly taken away if you love the way that he loved. Because if you love that way, then that will take away all the misgivings. Listen to me very closely. I'm still a pastor. I'm just giving it to you in real talk language. because you've been so deceived by all these shenanigans going on. You ain't loving yet. You haven't even learned how to love. Your disposition won't even let you do it. You listen to me and you say, is that all he's going to talk about? Is love? What do you think Jesus spoke about? Wait a minute. Don't mess with me. I'm not ready to end this up. Wait a minute. You haven't heard from me in a couple of days, so PJ got to get on your case. All right. All right. In John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me. Now, what do you think he meant in verse 2 by you being in him? See, that's that love. The connection is love. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. What kind of fruit is he talking about? He's talking about the fruit of love. Same kind of fruit that I gave to Mario Canto. Same kind of fruit that I gave to Terrence. Same kind of fruit. I'm just mentioning all the young men that I'm influenced. To JJ, to Nicholas. The same kind of love that I gave to Devante and Mike. The same kind of love that I give to everybody that I meet. Every young man that I meet. To the Brads of this world. Now look what he says. Every branch in me that does not bear love, that's what the fruit is, he takes away. See, when I think of my contemporaries, I wonder why, because Johnny was telling me that a lady that I knew in the church is dying and she's miserable. She won't go to church. She don't want to talk with nobody. She just is waiting to die. She won't eat and all that kind of stuff. What is that? That's ridiculous. Christ doesn't give that. And then he says, if he doesn't bear this love, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, that is, bears the love, that gives the fruit, what does he do? He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. I'm still bearing. What are you doing? Are you reading your Bible correctly? Are you reading it the way it's supposed to be read? Now, look at what it says. Let's. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, Jesus says, if I spoke the word to you, I've cleaned you up. The word cleanses your heart. The word sanctifies you and keeps you like that. Oh, don't start me preaching. I can open up this Bible at any verse and start preaching a sermon and add some points to it. I just, wait a minute, I'm going to read to you an email that I got from my ex-associate pastor the other day. I think it was Sunday morning. He was preparing for his sermon. The man that took over the church that I pastored. I want to read to you what he said to me, and then you will understand wait a minute, I'm trying to find this thing. Oh my goodness, I can't find it. But he wrote me a wonderful, let's see. Oh, here it is. Listen to this. He wrote me this message. This is what Pastor Sean wrote me. Loving you, man. Quietly sitting and preparing to speak for him in just minutes. You know, going over the big idea, outline preparation work has been done, awaiting his spirit to deliver his word to his children. You know the foolishness of preaching. Then he says, depending upon every lesson that you taught me in the garage, I'm talking about every lesson, every sermon, loving you, man. I know you're working now. Books or no books, gonna call to see what time of day is good to get by there. Sean. Now that is a note from a man that I taught in my garage for 3 years. That's the kind of a note that you expect to get from someone that sat under your tutelage before he gets up and opens up his mouth to talk to God's people about anything. And of all the people that I have trained, of all the people that I have trained, he is yet doing it. And when it comes my time to die, well, and you know what? I have a different kind of a congregation now, because Ishan is one of those pastors that's going to be pastoring the evangelical church, and he's going to do a very fine way of it. But will he reach the people that I'm attempting to reach with the word of God? No, he wouldn't, because they aren't going to come and sit in there and listen to him preach. They aren't going to do it. These people are going to be walking down the street with half their pants hanging off of them, listening to music that is unscrupulous, having ideas about life that works for them and does not work for the Sean Nelsons and the John Colemans of this world. But God has not taken the mantle away from the true pastor to love. And I was thinking about this. I have to do a webcast about this one of these days as I think about it. I was thinking out loud, and I was, oh, man, I should have ended this minutes ago, and I'm still talking. Can you believe that? John Coleman cannot stop running his mouth. I was asking myself this question. I said, should I condemn these people that do not think the way that I think? Should I condemn them, or should I try to understand them and try to understand that it's not what you do that separates you from God, but who you are? And I'm using the same love of Christ that he's given me to love them so deeply that it will bring about a change in their behavior. I think that that's why Jesus Christ came to the world, to love them so deeply that it would change their behavior. This takes time, dedication, and commitment. Thank you for being patient with me. God bless you. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the word. I love you guys.